You're going to hear from your fellow students today, but first I want to introduce Ronnie and Rasha Saba. Ronnie leads the Association of Baptist Churches in Israel. It's about 17 churches, 18 churches, Arabic-speaking churches in Israel. And he's joined by his wife, Rasha, and she leads the Fellowship of Christian Students in Israel, which is kind of the equivalent of InterVarsity, okay? We're going to hear from them in just a second before we do, and then hear from our students. Before we do, I want to pray for us. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it's an honor to be here, to gather together, to hear from our fellow students about your work in their lives and the work that you are doing in the Middle East. Thank you for these special servants that are here today. I pray this chapel service, their time here in Texas, would be a blessing to them as they seek to inform believers here in the West about the body of Christ in the land where you, Jesus, were born, raised, lived your life, died, buried, and were resurrected, Lord. It is our desire and our heart's prayer, our cry, that you would glorify yourself. You are deserving of the worship of every Israeli, of every Palestinian, of every Jew, of every Arab, of all the peoples of that land. So we devote and this time to you and pray that you would bless it. In your name I pray. Amen. Let's welcome Ronnie and Rasha.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Scott, actually, Scott was in our wedding, right?
Yes, it was.
14 years ago. So we're both from Nazareth. I was born and lived all my life there. Rasha was born in Nazareth, then she moved to Jerusalem, Haifa, and then came back to Nazareth when we got married. But she's a Nazarene. So, and if you ask a person from if you see a person and he tells you he's Nazarene, so he's proud. But we're proud twice, not because of only Nazareth, but because of Jesus of Nazareth, and we're there. We're both Israeli Arabs or Israeli Palestinians or Israeli Nazarenes. It depends. You'll hear it also differently from different people, but we are. A minority as Palestinians in Israel, and as Christians we are also a minority, and as evangelicals it's even the smallest minority in the land, and this land that everything started from there needs Jesus more now. So because of this minority, I ask you to pray for us so we could be the salt and the light in this land that is away from the light too much. And we try. I lead, as Scott said, the Association of Baptist Churches in Israel. It's something new. I never did. It's only, I started this March, so... and we try to work within the Baptist churches, especially with youth and kids and families. So this is actually the whole church. And we try to do programs for different categories, so we could have a healthy church in the land that would stay there. Because in this time, we hear many people that are willing to leave. And Christians normally, since 1948, many of them left. Nazareth was 70% Christians and 30 Muslims. Now 25 to 30% Christians and Muslims are the majority. So it's easier for Christians to leave because we connect with the West easier and we fit there. So we try to encourage people to stay. Otherwise, if we don't stay, there will not be a light and salt in this situation. So pray for us, especially not to have hatred in all of this. We believe in God who gives life. So anyone who takes life from people, we're against. It doesn't matter who, if they are Palestinians, who are our nation, or if they are Israelis, which we live in, we don't agree with both. So we call for life in this land.
Yeah. Hi. So I'm Rasha, and I lead the students ministry. And one unique thing about the student ministry in Israel is that it's a ministry that brings all the students together, all the Christian students, evangelicals, and from all of the both communities in Israel. So the Jewish community, the Messianic Jews, and the Christian Arabs. And we are a ministry that is located on the campuses. So we are there on the campuses to reach out to the campuses and to make Jesus known on the campuses. We have groups in all the universities in Israel and groups that meet together to study the Bible and send each other out to the campus to be salt and light in the campus. And also we continue with the alumni for several years to help them also be salt and light in their workplace. So that's the ministry. I think right now for the young people, the challenges are really huge. We, as a minority, as Rani mentioned, we are struggling all the time with our identities, and we have identity crisis all the time. But I think this time with the war, that has been really increased. The tension between the two communities has increased. And the way that, like, that we are trying to bring those two communities together, because we believe that Jesus did that before us, and he brought us in unity, and we want to live this unity out and be a witness to that unity that God can create, which this land lacks. It lacks this new, this different voice of coming together and being able to live together and being able to share life together rather than just being separated. So pray for the students as they struggle with finding their identity, with finding hope in the midst of this chaos, with being, pray for their healing. There's a lot of wounds, either because they faced it directly, they faced trauma directly, but there are also wounds that are coming from collective trauma that our land is suffering from, and both communities are suffering from. So pray that they come together and that Christ would be really our center. Another prayer is because of all of the struggles, and also because we're a minority, so we tend to go to our comfort zones and tend to go to our small communities and hide there to find security. So pray that we will be bold enough and courageous enough to understand our wider identity in Christ, our kingdom identity, and go outside those small bubbles to the community that we really need to be salt and light to. And that the students would have the courage to do that, even as they are struggling within. So pray for your friends, your age friends, some of you here, that they will be the witness to Christ in the universities and beyond the universities. Thank you.
Amen. Stay right here. If you guys would just reach out a hand, I want to pray for them, and we want to lift these prayer requests up right now. Lord, we come to you again, thanking you for the opportunity to meet together, to talk together, to hear from brothers and sister, a brother and a sister living in darkness, but they are light. I thank you for the body of Christ, which is salt, which is light. We pray that you would strengthen it. We pray that you would encourage Christian families to stay in the land. Call them, give them a divine calling to stay in the land, to be that salt, to be that light. Bless Ronnie as he leads the Association of Baptist Churches. Bless them in all the plans that they have to be missional, to do outreach, to strengthen and bring health internally to the local churches. We think of the students. We think of Russia's leadership. Thankful for her guidance and leadership of that strategic ministry in university campuses, and how she's navigating all of the political and identity issues that the students struggle with. Lord, empower her. Bless her with your spirit. Give her wisdom, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity. Bless them, bless them, bless them. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. All now, amen. And I want to turn it over to Isaiah, I think, or yeah.
Okay. Hey, everybody. So now we're going to transition into sharing testimonies from the students. And so I'm going to invite the students that are going to be sharing up, and I'm one of them, so I'm going to go up there as well. So thank you.
So I'll be speaking about Jerusalem, telling y'all about a few sites that we talked about, saw. One of them was the Garden of Gethsemane. So when we went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and you realize it speaks about it in Matthew 26, this is where Christ prayed before he was crucified. And so we got a chance to go there and see it and how they've kept it up, and it's a very beautiful sight. And as you're going and walking up there, you go up on these hills and you're going up to these steep embanks, and you're walking where he walked, which is a heartfelt moment as you walk alongside many of your friends in these different places. And then another spot, you go from next, and it's almost like you're going through history, because the next spot is the Via Della Rosa. And if some of you don't know what that is the steep embank that Christ walked up before he was crucified. That was the path that he took. And so as you walk up that, you know, a lot of us were going up there, and we struggled ourselves walking up this embank, and we're all in college. You know, we shouldn't be struggling like this. And it's hot. It's in the middle of the day. Dr. Bridger has us going, going, going. And when you think about it, biblically and mathematically, Christ was probably mid-30s when he died. And so he's up there trudging along with this big wooden cross that is on his back. And so you really can putting everything together as you're going on this trip when we first get here, because these are the first few places that we're hitting, and they hit hard. And so the next stop was the next step in history in this path. It's called the Church of the Holy Crucible. Sepulcher. There we go. And you know, this whole trip, we're all being able to talk, and we're all being loud, but then you come to this church, and the moment you walk in the doors, you realize it's dead silent. And it's very beautiful. It has glass in there that has pictures on it. And you're taking up these really narrow, windy stairwells up this path, and all of a sudden you see this glass embank cover with rocks in it. And you're supposed to get on your knees and look in this little hole. And for many of you, if you've ever seen what a fence post looks like, there's a fence post-like indent in the rock, a square, a cube. And then you find out this is where he died. This is where the cross was in these rocks. And then you find out that a man stood on each side of him on another cross on each side. And so then that was, as everybody's real quiet, you take a moment to take it in. And I don't think there's a dry eye in that room. Everyone's crying. Everyone's realizing this is where our Father in heaven died. This is where he shed his blood. This is where they took him. And then you have one more step, which is the tomb. We go down the stairs and we go in this other room where they have the tomb. And this tomb is very big, very beautiful on the outside. It's made of solid granite, very hard. And we walk in there. They only allow you three at a time because within the walls, it's very small. So you walk in, you have to duck or you bang your head. And you go there and you see this bed that Christ would have laid on, and it's hard rock. This is where his body would have laid, with clothes or linens properly folded right where they should have been. And you get to realize this is where he was buried, and this is where he rose 3 days later. And he's never coming back to this spot. And so for me, at least Jerusalem and the rest of the trip really brought everything that we learned in school and everything that we grew up learning to life. You get to actually step foot on the Holy Land and the same place that our Father in Heaven's put. So.
Yeah. yeah, so I'm going to talk a little bit about Bethlehem, which is the West Bank. So it was just, we just had such an opportunity. It was an opportunity to go to the West Bank. It was a privilege. It was an honor. And the difference between, you know, Jerusalem and where we started the trip to the transition going into Bethlehem is a drastic difference. And so we're coming into Bethlehem, and it's like you have to go through a checkpoint, and you know, you have to show your ID and your whatever, that little passport, yeah, and visa, and all that. You have to show your identity, and it's just a whole, like, there's a whole process of getting from here to the West Bank, from Israel proper to the West Bank. And the first thing that you notice is this wall that separates Israel proper and the West Bank, which would be considered Palestine. And like, it's just like massive wall. And maybe I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But like, I would say that like this trip has, this trip can change your life if you allow it to change your life. Like if you go in like with a willingness to learn, if you go in with a desire not to, what can I teach or what can I get from, or what can I give? It's more of like, how can I surrender myself and allow God and the brothers and sisters that we have in Israel, Palestine, to teach us, because we have so much to learn from them, guys. Like, so we go to, once we get in the West Bank, we go to Bible College there. Is primarily Bethlehem Bible College, and it's primarily Palestinian Christians, which, like you said, it's minority of a minority, right? And like, they're so welcoming and hospitable to us, and so excited that we're here, and also grateful that we're here, especially at a time like this. So I'll say this is the greatest time to go, if ever. Like God is doing something there, and like, you guys are salt and light there, and the people in Bethlehem Bible College, that they're being salt and light. And so they graciously took out as an opportunity to teach us, and just educated us on their experience, on their walk of life, what they go through, and the suffering that Palestinians face and the oppression that they face. And I remember Anthony, he just graduated at Bethlehem Bible College, and Jenny Ellie were two of the people that we got to meet, and they're amazing. We love them. And Anthony shared his testimony with us, and he just shared growing up under the shadow of the wall that segregates the West Bank and Israel, the state of Israel. And he shared just his experience of growing up under that shadow and the experience of being oppressed. And like, if I was in his shoes, like from the story that he's given us, and maybe, I mean, when y'all get the opportunity to go, like, you'll probably get an opportunity to hear somebody else's story, maybe his again, I don't know whose, but if I was in his shoes, like I would be hateful towards the state. I would be hateful towards life. Like I would be angry. And but he shared that he had this experience of anger, and but he came to know Christ, and the Lord turned that anger into passion to see to fight for freedom. And so the people here at Bethlehem Bible College, our brothers and sisters in Christ, are passionate and on fire for the gospel. I've never seen it like that anywhere. So like it's just a beautiful experience going there, and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, but it could be more than once in a lifetime, and I think it should be more than a once in a lifetime opportunity. And and so now Anthony's, you know, he's working for international solidarity. He's working to be a peacemaker. And so that leads me to, like, being here, being in Israel, Palestine, like you get to see the Criswell graduate profile working itself out. You get to see how purposeful our professors, Dr. Bridger, Dr. Creamer, how purposeful they were in designing the Criswell graduate profile, which is ambassadors, peacemakers, cultivators, problem solvers, professionals. And I don't know how I got that, but like you get to see that working out. And so like you really get to see just how the sovereignty of God, you get to see the sovereignty of God. And I would just read this. You see the sovereignty of God, you see, you know, his hand guiding us along a path for his will, for his glory. And primarily it's by listening and learning first, you know. It's not about us. The trip is not about us. I'll say that. And I want to read Isaiah 61. It says, Isaiah 61, like I encourage you to read the whole chapter. But it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. And I mean, this is the Lord came to, the meek shall inherit the earth. You know, the Lord came to for those who are oppressed. And and like one more thing is this beautiful to see, like, even though like our brothers and sisters over there are facing oppression, like they're not being held down. I mean, they're not allowing that to hold them down. Like, they're fighting, and that is like something that, like, we should want to be involved with, and you would want to pray for. And so I would just say again, like, this trip has the opportunity, has the power to change your life if you let it. Yeah, that was Bethlehem and the West Bank.
Hi guys. So I actually just found out this morning that there was a talk. So I'm not actually speaking on my topic, but I wanted to share just a couple of personal reflections that I had from the trip, and I think some encouragement that I would love to share to those who have not yet gone. So I've heard quite a bit around the school of people who are just baffled by the amount of money you have to raise for this trip. For those of you who don't know, I had a surgery at the end of last semester, and my surgery was actually on the due date for the rest of our money that was needed to come in. And I was about $2,000 short when I went to sleep for my surgery. And I woke up, and the first thing that I was told is that someone called my parents while I was in surgery and said, the Lord laid on my heart to donate $2,000 to Naomi. And I had not spoken to this person in forever. And I think that even just in the fundraising process, faith was built in me, and confirmation that I was supposed to be on this trip. And so I know that doesn't have anything to do with like the trip report, I guess, in a sense, but I just wanted to spread that encouragement to you guys that the Lord is so faithful, even in the fundraising process. So approach it confidently and do the work. But like the Lord will provide for you to be able to go on this trip. But I just wanted to share some presuppositions that I had going to Israel before. I know there were a couple of people who were on the trip as well who wrestled with the same things about just questioning if this was the time to go, just because I think we had a little bit of a different experience than prior trips because there's always been unrest, there's always been conflict. However, it was so much more in your face this year. You know, it's all over the news, you're hearing things, you don't know what to believe. And it felt really, really insensitive, honestly, to go at the time that we went. And so I wrestled with that a lot, wrestled with, I wanted to go, but I think that I just had a lot of questions, a lot of beliefs that I wanted to be challenged. And let me tell you, they were challenged while I was there. I think that I asked Dr. Bridger a couple days into the trip. I was like, why is it arranged this way? One thing you should know, Dr. Bridger does not tell you much on the trip. You are left to question most of what you will be doing every day. It's get up, get in the van, and who knows? It's a surprise. And so I asked him, I was like, why do we do it this way? Why is it that we do all of the sightseeing and the tourism and just like visiting all of these holy sites before we go and do the service project? Because when we went to the service project, we were all so tired. It slowly revealed itself because Dr. Bridger's answer was just, I have my reasons. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like that's actually what I was hoping to hear. But it was... it unfolded throughout the trip, and ultimately I'm so grateful that we did not go to the service project first, because I think he would have literally had to ripped us, like our claws would have been like on the very ground from the service project, to go visit these holy sites, because ultimately you hear so much. I mean, Sai mentioned that this trip has the capability to change your life, and I would agree. I think that's what everybody told me all the way up to Israel. I hear from all of the more seasoned members of our churches, this trip is going to change your life. You'll come back and you'll be so different. And I think there was a lot of pressure. I don't know if any of you are overthinkers, but I am. And so I'm like, I have to let this trip change my life. And then we get to these sites and I'm like, it's cool rock. Like, yeah, like, you know, and I faced a lot of, like, I was very underwhelmed, I'm not going to lie, at a lot of parts. And I was like, oh my gosh, Naomi, like, figure this out. You got to be, conjure up a feeling right now. And let me tell you, it's just funny because there is just this pressure to let this trip change your life. And I remember the first stop that we made in Gethsemane, and just like recognized that this was the place that Jesus prayed over me. And I recognized that it was in this garden that he sweat drops of blood out of agony for his care for me. And that made me a little emotional. I was like, okay, maybe there's something to this. And I remember a road that we were sitting on outside of where Pentecost happened. And Dr. Bridger saying that this was a road that Jesus would walk on and have conversations on. And that was also just crazy to see this first century road to where you just see these synagogues or see these places and know for sure that Jesus spoke to the poor and the needy, and he came to the people who needed to be healed, not the ones who thought they had it all figured out. And there were so many beautiful points like that that moved me. I think that that was not what I expected to move me. Because when we finally got to Excel, which is where we did a majority of our service project, it all finally made sense to where Dr. Bridger mentioned something that really just encapsulated what I was feeling. He said that these are the living stones, not the dead stones. I'm infringing just a little bit on Adrian here, but just pretend to be surprised when he says it. It was just such a beautiful thing to realize that we were in some of the most beautiful churches and synagogues and temples in the world. We literally walked into these places and they were breathtaking. And I was so underwhelmed. And I think that realizing when we went and met the people that we met, I recall specifically, I think it was actually a picture that was just up, but I met a girl named Rafif, and she was one of the most beautiful people I've ever met. Absolutely just beautiful spirit. And I realized in that moment that nothing compared to like the temple of the image bearer of Christ, that we are all so loved by him. And these stones are dead because they live. And so I think that I could get really emotional about the place where the cross was. And it was a moving experience. But the cross is gone. I could get really emotional about a tomb, which is not the original tomb. I could get really, really emotional about that. But you walk inside and it's empty. And you could just go to all of these places and kiss the ground that Jesus' feet touched, which might be kind of nasty. But like you could do those things. However, they're dead stones. And it was truly the living stones that made a difference for me. And so I think that all of us felt really challenged to come out of the trip with a stance, maybe, just considering everything that was going on. We got to meet so many beautiful people, Israeli Arabs, and like our friend said, already a minority. However, they would say so much that was challenging and moving, and I'm so grateful for that because I feel like it shaped me as a person to be able to come home and have conversations with people that are hard and be challenged, move towards compassion, to be just a testament of the love of Christ to people. However, more than anything, I think coming home and wrestling with just the help of Dr. Bridger and so many conversations with friends, I came to the same conclusion that our friends shared concerning it's not about any kingdom that man has established. It's not about coming, standing with a certain side. It is about prioritizing the Imago Dei in each an individual. And so there is a lot of injustice that you will have to stare directly in the face, and that's really hard. And I'm not generally a angry person. I wrestled with just feeling so angry and feeling helpless. However, hearing testimonies from people who have just shown such immense grace and compassion, just love of the Lord in their lives, and they face it daily. I think that I just came out being shaped to recognize that the Lord, every nation, tribe, and tongue will be recognized in heaven, and we will stand with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and those will be, that will include Arabs, it will include Israelis, it will include literally every race, every tribe, every tongue. And so you will wrestle with so much. You will come in with presuppositions. Allow them to be challenged. Allow yourself to be uncomfortable. I think that was one of the things that I gained most out of this trip is do not rely fully on what you think you know, because you know nothing.
Well, I think I can skip my part since Naomi basically said everything. I'm kidding. So as she kind of touched on, we got to do our service project in Ixal. And service project is something that you kind of prepare for in your classes in intercultural communication and global learning and service, especially in global. And I just remember going through those classes and like doing those things, wondering, how is this going to come into play? Like, how am I actually going to use this? And just, you know, getting through, and I passed, so it worked. And then you get to the school and you have to like do this stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, what he was teaching us like actually works. So good job, Dr. Bridger. And so it was just, it was really special. I just remember nights before going to the school trying to prepare, just feeling like not knowing what we were going to do, because we had no schedule. The main thing Dr. Bridger told us was like, be flexible, just be ready for anything. And I think that just kind of allowed like a lot of genuine conversations, and it allowed us to be a little more loose. Because I think if we had a set schedule, it would have been, okay, we got to get this done, we got to get this done, we got to get this done. But just kind of going with this kind of loose schedule let us be ourselves, and let the kids be themselves, and it left room for the Lord to do work, and he did. So our topic was critical thinking and life skills, and I think we talked about that like one time, but those were valuable conversations. But it was the time outside of that where we were just hanging out with the kids, and they were just so loving and just so hospitable to us. Just strangers that they didn't know, but they just greeted us with smiles on their face, happy just to see someone who saw them, you know, because just with what's going on, like we've talked about it a little bit, the oppression that they feel, just to have their voice heard, like, is special to them because they don't get that from anyone else. And just to hear some of the things they have to go through was really hard. Just the kid, I mean, they're kids, and they see on social media and the news all the bodies being carried from the rubble, the children that are being just murdered in these situations, and they see that, and they have to live with that, but they can still have this joy that is just so, like, visual. Like, they don't hide it at all. It's just amazing that you can still have love in those situations, and they're not bitter towards everyone. So it's just special to be a part of that and experience that. And just that was the highlight of the trip. I mean, like she said, those living stones matter so much more than those sites that we saw. Because a lot of those sites, they're like supposedly, you know, they're not guaranteed that that's where it was. So you don't even know if it's really where Christ died or not, you know. You're just kind of going like, I hope it is. It was cool. But these people are real. They're real. They're there. And you see them, and you experience this love of Christ. Like, it felt like the love of Christ. And they know a Jesus, but it's not the Jesus. And so we got to, in turn, show them Jesus' real love. And I think that was really special. It just opened conversations with a lot of them about who Jesus is, and gospel conversations. One I remember vividly is me and Daisy were talking to a group of the students, and we were just talking about music, and they were like, I don't want to listen to music anymore, it's not good for my religion. And I was like, oh, that's interesting, do you have like songs in your religion that you can sing? And so from there we kind of talked about how we have Christian songs that we can sing that are like contemporary and sound like everything else. And they were like, we don't really have that. And so we just kind of start talking more about the religion, like, what do you have? And from there, there's just little connecting points, like, this is where the teaching comes in play. You can find the connecting points of where you can transition into a gospel conversation. And so we just got to tell them about Jesus, which is just amazing. And at the end, one of the girls was, she was just amazed. She was like, I've never heard of Christians like this. I've never seen this side of them. And she wanted like a Bible to read. She wanted to read it for herself, which was just to see the Lord move that way. It was so special. And to be that touch, it's how many is it, like 28, 20 plus? Yeah, one of the statistics Dr. Bridger told us was that it takes about 20 plus touches of the gospel for a Muslim to come to Christ. So to be one of those, you know, was one thing. He was like, that's special. Like, be okay with just being the one and just hope for more to come afterwards. And so for all of us to get to experience that is just once in a lifetime. You know, it's hard to explain because it's just so special. And it's just something I'll never forget. And so I just have a deep love for Iqsal and those kids and the people, you know. And I think what was really big for me is I think here in America, we see a lot on the news, we see in the media, and it's always just one side, you know. It's a one-sided thing. To get the other side of the story from the source, the direct source, the people who are experiencing it was so special. And to know that our war is not against flesh and blood, you know. My war is not against these kids. Like, know that I love those kids, and that's what I'm called to do, and that's what Jesus calls us to do. And so just walking away from it, not feeling like I had to pick Israel or Palestine, I could just pick peace and look for peace and love in those situations, was so special to me. And just looking to come back home and be this voice for these kids who don't have any other way for people to hear them. I mean, they told us that if they post anything on social media, like, there's risk of them getting arrested for that. So they don't have a voice. And so I think it came upon us that we have to be that voice for them here and show there's another side to the story, and just make sure that God's love is shown through all of that. And it's just special. And if you have the chance to go, like, go. I just go. I promise it's worth it. Go. It's worth the $4,000 in fundraising. It's priceless. You know, you could put any price on it and it'd be worth it. Please go. Thank you.
Okay. So kind of tying everything in a bow here. The last of our trip, we went to it was a conference at the Baptist Village in Haifa is what it was. And this was actually a really cool opportunity just because we were surrounded by 18 to 25 year olds. So our age range of college students who live there in Israel. There was a lot more ages than that, but just to get to talk to other believers living in Israel, our age, kind of interpreting the conflict themselves from their front door every day was really special and just really sweet. And I think the biggest thing that I took out of that was, you know, like, because here in America, yeah, like, it's blown up on the news and it's like, you know, my parents are like, son, are you sure the school's gonna make you? And I'm like, yeah, dad, I gotta go, you know, and like, you know, and then we already gave the money, you know, it's too late, you know, like, I'm going, you know, and it was just cool from their perspective to hear them just being like, you know, God is still God. You know, all of this is going on, but God is still God, and God is moving, and God is working. That, you know, despite everything that is going around us, God is still ruling and reigning, and He is bigger than this. And they had just like a really healthy view of it, honestly. And their view of it was that we're going to be in paradise at the end of all of this. You know, if we die, so be it. I mean, we're, you know, like, it sucks that this is going on, and we're doing our best to be salt and light and to be peacemakers in around all of this. But like our friends shared, a lot of their perspective is, yeah, like, we are for life and we are against, you know, the persecution of innocent lives. And so it was really just so special to engage in those conversations with other, you know, 22-year-olds and just talk about that and get their perspectives of it. And through that, I think my encouragement to you guys, and kind of through what everyone else has said, is just that this trip will really show you that it's really not about you, that it really, that God wants to do something. And, you know, there are times where you're looking at a stone, or you're even, you know, on your way to go serve something and you're just not really feeling like it, or you're just like, what is the significance of this? But it's having that humility of, God, I want to learn from this trip. What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? And having that humility to just show up and allow him to move, because he's going to move. I guarantee you that he's going to move throughout this whole entire experience. And, you know, and that just kept happening to me throughout the whole trip. And, you know, this is kind of, you know, more of a funny story towards the end of it. And I guess I was still learning this, but, you know, we got dropped off. We're on our way home. We got dropped off at the airport at, like, I don't know, it was like 11 or 12 there in Tel Aviv. And, you know, we're all tired and we're cranky and we're ready to just get back to the U.S. And we're just, you know, like, you know, and we're sad. There's a lot of emotions happening and we're just like, man, let's just get through this. And so we're going through customs and we're doing all the things. We, you know, we, our flight left at like some crazy hour, like at 3 or 4 in the morning or something like that. We just all, you know, and everybody's like, you know, it's a struggle to get on this, you know, and you know, and it's just, but we finally get on this plane and we land in Germany. And I remember I was going through customs in Germany and there was this guy standing in front of me who, you know, just to be frank with you guys, like, just smelled just really bad, honestly. Like, he just did. He smelled really, really bad. And I was just like, and I don't know why I thought this, but I just said to myself, you know, as I'm taking off my shoes to go through customs, like, God, I will not sit next to that guy on the plane, you know. And I don't know why I said that, but, you know, not only, you know, did he sit directly in front of me the whole, like, 12 hours or whatever it was, you know, but, like, he was, like, doing stretches or whatever the whole, and I was just like, okay, God, okay, you know, like, I get it, you know. And so it's just like, just, and that's like a funny thing, but it's true. It's just like, it's traveling internationally, going on this trip, going to Israel will show you that it's not about you and that God wants to use you, that you are simply a tool that he wants to use to glorify him. And I think that's kind of what we all took away from it, from just getting to hear another person's story that doesn't look like you, that doesn't talk like you, that doesn't, you know, it's just from a totally different culture, obviously, because we're in a different country. But just to see that and to experience that and to still have the ear to listen and to want to relate and to want to understand is so beautiful. And I'm just so thankful for Dr. Bridger and his opportunity. So we as the students, we didn't tell Dr. Bridger about this, but we as the students, we would love to pray for our friends that are visiting from Israel, ourselves as a student body. And we'd love to pray for you because we know that you're going to be going again soon. So I wanted to invite everybody who was involved in the trip, if you're here in this room, this past trip, to come up. And yeah. Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. I do want you to pray for us and for me. Thank you. That's an honor. These guys, this group, and all the groups that have gone really display in a tangible way that they are ambassadors for Christ. One of our mottos, of course, is to connect with the living stones. One of our other mottos is to walk where Jesus walked, but to walk as he walked. And the people there got to see tangible, physical, embodied witness in front of them of Christ. And so they said it wasn't about them, but through them, our Lord was working. And when you go, God will use you. He will use you. And those, the conversation we had at the wall with the Orthodox Jews, we didn't have time to talk about it, but all these little conversations. And so we're just blessed as a college to be a part of this. So thank you, guys.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Haas is going to pray for us. So we're going to come around and we wanted to pray for you guys. Yeah.
Alrighty. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for bringing Rani and Rasha here today, Lord, to share about themselves and the ministry that you have them in, Lord. We thank you for the work that you're doing through them, God. We pray that you just continue to have your hand over the ministry, end of their ministry, throughout their ministry, Lord. For everything goes to you, through you, and from you, Lord. We pray that you just continue to bless the environment that they are surrounded with, that you would just do a transformation, God, that only you can do. And we thank you for allowing all of us, Lord, and our brothers and sisters in Israel to be part of your mission, Lord. God, we thank you for the opportunity of being used by you, God, because ultimately it's not about any of us, it's about you. And as we learned in this trip of that, and that we are all accepted no matter where we come from, no matter what language we speak, no matter what we look like, Lord, we recognize that we are a body unified in Christ with diversity in multiple ways, but that in each diversity, Lord, that it reflects who you are. And in that, Lord, we become peacemakers, Lord, and we thank you for that, God, that we're not only peacekeepers, but peacemakers. And so, God, I pray that you just continue to bless Rani and Rasha, Lord, that you just continue to bless the people who are working with them to bring about peace, Lord, and to promote Jesus and his love, Lord, because this love is greater than anything else, greater than this war, greater than the bloodshed, greater than anything, God. For Hebrews makes that argument that Jesus is higher and greater and bigger, Lord. We thank you for the work that you've done in our lives and the work that you're going to do in other people's lives, Lord. We thank you for Dr. Bridger as you've prepared him in such a way that's prepared us to be able to go and do these service projects, Lord, that only you provide, God. And we thank you and we pray that you would do the same work in the group that goes after us, Lord, and the group after that, Lord, and that you just continue to just build us, grow us in your wisdom and understanding, God. So we thank you for Dr. Bridger. We pray that you continue to bless his life and that you would continue to use him to educate others, to be peacemakers, to be in mission in light of your love, in light of Jesus, God. So we ask and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.